You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to a new episode of Zach on Film. This is the summer movie special. With me today is Steven.
Hello.
Rob.
Hi.
And the other are Rodrigo.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Together, we are the Fantastic Four.
Yes, which is what we just walked out of the theater of. We saw the very first showing on this August 6th day. What an experience that was.
What an experience, Zach. What should we start about our favorite theater?
I mean, let's first talk about that.
My God, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Before the preview started, I lean over Rodrigo and I go, so what are the odds that it's going to be projected right?
Well, and it was. I'll say this, it was projected correctly.
Technically, yes, it was. And so all the trailer stuff starts finishing rolling. You're just waiting for that thing moment for it to click over, like, what's gonna be wrong? And it starts off in the middle very small, and then it immediately just juts to the top of the screen, and I just start laughing because
there's
too
probably
perfect.
About a 3.5 foot gap from the bottom of the frame to the bottom of the screen.
Oh yeah, it was absurd.
But
they let it go through all of the previews. They never address the issue. The movie starts rolling, and what happens? I see the manager and one of the other employees walk to the front of the theater, thinking maybe they're just going to tell us we're going to take a minute and pause so we can fix the projector. Oh, no. Oh, no. What do they do, Steven?
Apparently, there's a portion of the curtain that they had to fold up to cover up the bottom portion of the screen during the showing of this picture. Now, I will say this. After they did that, perfect, the picture looked perfect on the
looks
screen.
Fine.
But my God, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. The other thing that's kind of sad is we were in not the smallest, but the second smallest theater in the place, which meant there probably sat maybe 150 people, maybe.
There was what was really glorious, I felt, was that they're only showing this in that one theater.
Right, right.
It's all the way in the back, and it doesn't even have an actual official Fantastic Four thing. And the thing that it had a Minions thing, and on printer paper, just printed out and stuck on there, it said Fantastic Four.
And of course, being a really small theater, we had to like look straight up, so my neck is still kind of sore for that.
It was an IMAX experience, but a quarter of the size.
Yes. My guess is that they're moving it to another theater tomorrow on the official launch date, or today when you're listening to this, listeners. But that was the funniest.
I mean, Rodrigo, didn't it seem like they were prepared for this situation? That they knew, you go down and grab that side, I'll grab this side, and we'll lift it up and just latch it on there.
I bet they do that every time.
Did it seem like they were prepared?
I mean,
because discussing it.
Did they?
Yeah.
Were they?
I would say loudly they had... while the credits were already rolling. And you know that thing in movies where like it'll be black, but you'll hear people's voices. It's kind of getting in the mood. Yeah, we missed that on account of some guy being like, "No, it's supposed to go down," and then looking at it, it's like, "Nope, it is supposed to go up."
Well, I had a trio of jacktards behind me that wouldn't shut up. Man, I wish I was as smart as he was.
It was great.
You going to go out later? Yeah, I'm going
to
go out later.
The whole movie was great to have them commentating.
He's drunk.
I got to go get my... Yeah, yeah. He's drunk. I got to go change my shirt so we can go out later. God, those guys.
I mean, the great part of it for me is they would just be like, oh, I can't believe it. I'm like, yeah, of course. It was like, or when they go to the... Let's just skip to the end of the movie. When they go to their new lab, it's like... They pan over, and they're like, whoa, that's crazy. I'm like, what are we looking at? It just looks like a bunch of cubicles.
Yeah. One of the guys was like, early on when Reed at the beginning is making the transporter in his garage,
yeah.
the guy behind was like, man, I wish I was that smart.
That's good. Wow. That's good commentary, movie. Man.
So that is our movie theater experience. I pray that you listeners never have to go.
You know,
I hope your theater is not as bad as ours.
Part of me is annoyed by the talking during the movie, but what it is just surrounding you, just glorious on all sides. It just adds to the movie experience.
Well, and it honestly, it helped that they were enthusiastic about the movie.
Well, yeah, that's true. I was surprised.
So that was nice. It sucks whether the movie is good or bad if you get somebody who is loud, but also isn't paying attention to the movie or isn't.
Yeah.
At least this way, it's just like kind of this weird running commentary by someone who's enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
Right. It's good because the one that I've had bad people who hate the movie, like when Dark Knight Rises came out. And they do the big reveal of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's Robin at the end. A guy in the back, he goes, oh, worst thing ever! You ruined everything! I'm like, oh, come on, man. Come on.
You were in that showing, too?
Yeah.
Was that you that yelled that out?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I was like, God damn it, dude. I agree with you, but God damn it, dude.
That was pretty awesome. All right, so back to Fantastic Four. New reboot from Fox. Got to keep those rights.
Yeah.
We had the last one was, what, 2003, five, 4, or 5?
I think, yeah, 2005 was, I don't know.
I never watched any of those.
2007.
Consensus from you guys, how they were?
The first one was okay, fair to middling.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, Rise of the Silver Surfer, was not good at all.
The Silver Surfer was cool, but other than that, I don't really remember much of any of it.
Okay.
Galactus.
That's about pretty right. Much, I enjoyed the first one. The second one, I felt really kind of suffered from the fact that in movies, it sometimes introducing comic book concepts can be difficult, and I think it was difficult to be like, oh, okay, so here's this space surfer, and here's this other thing coming now.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little weird to see all that actually on screen.
Mm. So how did this Fantastic Four movie translate from comic book to screen, just in general overview, do you think?
Oh, the comedy stylings of one Victor Von Doom. I tell you, that ruined the whole movie. The whole Victor Von Doom aspect just was ruined it for me. I did not find anything about that interesting, and every time Doom is in it, same way with the very first, the previous Fantastic Four movie, the minute you put Doom in there, that's the part where everything becomes incredibly laughable.
I wonder what the aversion is to have Doom be an established scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Who is basically out to steal the Fantastic Four's lucky charms, like in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why we need to make Doom the fifth Beetle of the Fantastic Four.
Well, I mean, historically, he's been around doing that shtick for a long time.
Yeah, but in the comics, usually Doom doesn't get his powers in the same accident that the Fantastic Four, on account of not actually having any powers.
Yeah.
Well, this one took more of the ultimate take on it, where because it drafted or gave Reed the scholarship to go to.
Oh no,
the
this
Baxter
was
Institute.
This was just right out of Ultimate Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Well, the first one was too, sort of.
Not really. No, this one was.
Well, I know the specifics weren't, but in the first one, Doom goes with them,
right,
the powers,
right,
in the exact same way.
Yeah. But yeah, I just I think we talked about this a while ago about why could this movie not be an Adventures of the Unknown kind of film with, they get their powers. There's something else that's not related to their freaking accident that's going to doom the world or destroy the world or cause havoc in New York, and they have to come together and fight. I mean, that would have been...
Honestly, there's a lot of things in this movie that I thought, like, for most of it, I thought this movie's on the right track.
Yeah.
Like, I was 100% on board with the majority of this movie. Really, what I felt was there's a moment where basically the Fantastic Four, or actually all the stupid boys, jump the gun,
mm-hmm.
get on the thing, they get their powers, Susan is like stupid boys and tries to bring him back. She gets blasted too. They get their superpowers, right? There's a quick, tense, like, escape scene, and then we jump how many years?
One year into the future. Yeah.
So we jump 1 year ahead. I felt that's pretty much where the movie kind of lost me. And it didn't have to, but from all the setup, it felt like this movie either should have been the Fantastic Four, like, basically chafing against the government,
mm-hmm.
and then eventually escaping and establishing themselves as kind of this force to be reckoned with and this kind of autonomous thing. Or there should have been about, I don't know, anywhere between 20 and 40 more minutes of movie in the middle,
mm-hmm.
where we establish who the Fantastic Four are before we bring Doom back in. I felt that Doom should have come back in the sequel. Like, there's...
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, the movie goes lots of exposition, who these people are, the cool project they're working on. They get their powers, we jump a year, final battle. Okay.
Yeah.
They get their powers, yeah. we jump a year, we find Reed, final battle.
Right.
So quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so all the scenes or all the moments where Reed is like, they're like, he's too powerful for any individual one of us. And he's mm-hmm. like, but if we four fantastically fight him, then we'd be so much better. Those seem really hollow because literally they just got back together. Yeah. Like, they just got, for us, they got their mm-hmm. powers 15 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know. That really, that's kind of where the movie I felt faltered. But up until then, I felt that movie was right on track.
Yeah. No, I liked it. I mean, everything about the first 65 to 75% of the movie, perfect. You got girls in STEM. You've got persons of color. You've got giant rock guy without any pants on.
Yeah.
You've got a stretchy dude, right?
Right.
You got cool father. You got that guy from the Hulk movie.
Right. You got the leader is the bad guy in this. Again, actually, he's also in... Oh, no, he's not. Yeah, he's the leader. That's
yeah, yeah, he's the leader, yeah.
The only thing I was thinking of when it came on screen was holes, because I just watched that recently.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was guy. Also... He was also one of the. Yeah. And he was also one of the prisoners in Oh Brother Where Art
Thou. Yeah, right. So. Yeah.
I turned you into a horny toad.
Yeah.
But up until Doom makes his reappearance, the movie I thought was really good.
I was actually bored through most of it.
Really? How come?
I don't know. We don't need another origin story for any in superheroes. Any like the we spent half or more of the movie doing the origin story.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the push for them to actually do the trip was kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, there's three of them there. They have that little canteen, and that's supposed to get them drunk enough to say think this is a good idea.
Yeah, but it was just really strong alcohol.
It's from Latveria.
Also, they're like...
Like 16.
They're like yeah. 17 years old.
Yeah. Well, Doom might be older.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, the other two, yeah, definitely teenagers. Why would they leave Sue out of that? I mean, they're upset that the four of them can't go. And instead of bringing Sue along on the trip, which would have, you know, stopped the entire thing because she wasn't drunk.
You know, that's a good point. And I've mm-hmm. seen people bring that up online, people who saw advanced screenings, that they felt it was really jerkwaddy of the guys to go by themselves mm-hmm. and leave Sue out of it,
right. Which so again
involvement to it.
You either make five containers for them to go, which right. would have been the easiest thing to
yes.
do, or you cut Doom out and you rework your third act.
Sure.
Right.
Which would have also been an easy thing to do.
The thing about that though is that in a sad way, it makes sense, right? It's like these four idiots decide to do this. Well, really, these three idiots decide to do this. They rope Ben into it. And then they go. And then, if not for Sue, they would all die or become doomified.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm.
And in the process of saving them, she takes a lot of flack.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of flack. If that isn't a metaphor for women in the sciences, I don't know what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I agree. I thought there was a lot
kind of like Rob, I was kind of bored through it, but it wasn't because of the story. It was just the dialogue I thought was really horrible to the rest of the film. But I was on board. I'm not against an origin story for Fantastic Four, mainly because I haven't seen the first one. Sure. I thought it was done in an interesting way based on... I've never read this origin story in the comics. I've only read Space, you know, all that stuff. So I was okay with that. I liked the way they did it. I mean, I did like the characters and concept. I liked Sue. I liked, you know, Johnny and Reed and everyone. Victor was kind of... He was kind of weird. But... It got to the end, and I was like, well, how long have we been going? So I checked my watch. I'm like, we've gone about...
an hour and a half.
I mean, we've gone about 50 minutes, and we're not really to our powers yet. I don't think they'd even got to their other dimension to get all zapped and whatnot. So it's like, what are we doing? How is this going to resolve? And you just start thinking, like, what is the end point for this film?
Or how long is this
film? How long is it going to be? Because I didn't know. I never checked the running time. Is this going to be 2.5 hours?
According to the IMDb, it is 100 minutes. So just over an hour and a half. And if you figure out that 5.5 minutes, 6 minutes are the credits, and you've got 2 or 3 minutes up front preloading the opening credit bits, you got about a 95,
probably
90,
not
95
three whole minutes. You think 3 whole minutes of pre-credits?
I think probably setting stuff up.
It's close enough.
It was a lot of. I mean, did you think how much time we spent him as a fifth grader?
Yeah.
And then
at least we got to see Homer Simpson on screen.
Yeah.
Wait, who? You said something about Homer Simpson. Who was it?
Dan Castellaneta was the teacher.
The teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Homer.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I've seen him in other stuff before.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's cool.
He's the NPR guy in Parks and Rec.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I've noticed him. So we have him as a child and then kind of high school, and then we finally get to the Baxter, and that whole creation of the thing is a very long sequence.
And it's good.
It is good.
It's good character building stuff, and it's something that sometimes we bemoan superhero movies not having.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like, here's Reed Richards. Now here's Reed Richards' relationship to Ben Grimm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Reed Richards will move him to here. Here's the start of his relationship with Sue Storm. Here's Sue Storm's relationship with her dad. Here's Johnny Storm's relationship with his dad. Interesting stuff. Interesting family dynamics. Well set up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's what you expect going in. It's like, Johnny's a hothead. Yuck, yuck. Kind of stuff. And it's all set up, but it takes up so much movie that basically the final boss feels like what are those called? It's not a quick time event, or is it like in video games? You know what I'm talking about, where you're like,
that is a quick time event.
It feels like a quick time event.
Gives you the button
to defeat Doom. Press X at the correct moment.
Oh yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. What I didn't like about the character setting up is the love hate triangle of Doom and Sue and Reed. I'm like, is this really the best way you can set up the hate between Doom and Reed and everyone else? Is this, and they don't even do much. It's just enough to annoy you. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why does this need to happen? Just do his work thing. He's annoyed at his work. They established that earlier.
Yep.
But they
could have completely cut that out.
Mm-hmm.
They could, like I said, cut Doom completely out of this movie. I bet you could go in and re-edit it without him in it and just put in some little action figures for the third act. And the movie would be so much better. The whole third, you guys have both said it. The whole third act does not work the minute that Doom walks in and he's a robot.
Here's I think how I would here's the rewrite that I would do on this movie. Obviously trim a lot of the stuff at the beginning. Maybe just give us very little fifth grade stuff. Don't give us like the moment that Reed and Ben become friends,
mm-hmm.
or just give us only that. And then basically they get it going. They send the inexplicable CGI chimp into the other dimension.
That was also horrible.
I like that they sent a Planet of the Apes chimp into the other dimension.
Yes.
It's like, well, we can't use a real chimp. We have to send a super smart chimp.
And since we already have Caesar as a baby from the first movie, let's just recycle him again and
Caesar?
Put him in there.
Get me, Caesar. Get me the best monkey you have.
Well, maybe that's what they were telling us, is that's really how the apes are going to take over.
That'd be good. I did, like, in a science experiment, just for a second, like, organic matter. What's the first thing organic matter we can send? I know, an entire chimp. Yeah. That'll be easy. Not like a leaf.
Not like a chimp's finger. Not like a chimp's finger.
I thought they were going to send the apple, because they focused on the apple in fifth grade for just long enough that I'm like, oh, right. Ultimate Fantastic Four. The first thing they try to send is an apple. That's why Reed ends up at the Baxter Institute, is because they see a random apple in the negative zone.
We can't do that. We had to spend some time with Ben Grimm's abusive older brother.
And we also had to make sure that we used the little airplane so that the little kid could say, you're a dick, to the old kid. And the audience could roll on the floor in laughter and fits and spurts.
So here's what you do. You trim that down.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Baxter Institute. They start up. They get the thing going. They show the guy that it's possible. And the guy goes, this is amazing. We are shutting it down. Because we can't see an application to this, and it cost us $30,000 or $30 million every time you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry, but no. So then, Doom freaks out and leaves, and the four remaining ones go, we should do it. We should do it, explore, figure out, find something out there that's worth bringing back. They go out there, they get zapped, they come back. And basically, they become the Fantastic Four. Doom is super jealous and start figuring out ways to basically try to steal their powers, like Dr. Doom does in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have the final confrontation be Fantastic Four versus the military. You can have the final confrontation be Doom versus the Fantastic Four, draining some of their powers away or something. You can do it lots of different ways.
Yeah.
You can have a Nihilus, since he's supposed to be from
that's the other thing is, you can set that up for the sequel, because if the idea is that they're going into this Planet Zero, aka the Negative Zone, to go bring something worth bringing back, what they bring either turns out to be terrible in that movie, or in the sequel, turns out to have been terrible. You know, and it could be Annihilus, it could be anything from the Negative Zone. Although, I wonder if because of the direction that things go, especially with Annihilation War basically kicking off the cosmic Marvel stuff, I wonder if Annihilus isn't wrapped up with Guardians of the Galaxy and thus inaccessible to the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm. So the Doom, not good across the board, do you think, the way they used him?
No, hated it.
Yeah, he's not supposed to get the powers that way. Like, he looked terrible.
Yeah.
He was an all-powerful entity on Earth and should have just trounced the Fantastic Four. Like,
Yeah, why didn't he blow their heads up? Like, yeah, he was exactly blowing everybody else's head up, a la Akira.
We established these ridiculous powers that he's got, and he doesn't use any of them against the four at all.
I think my favorite part of Doom, keeping with like teenage angst, is he's clearly wearing an Urban Outfitter hoodie scarf going on there. That is clearly just like from their fall catalog.
Yeah.
It does not look like anything from that planet. He just ordered it online.
It's just such a... I don't know. I think there's a lot of issues with both Fantastic Four franchises, the previous one and this one, and one of them is this absolute necessity to have Doom be a part of it from the beginning. And it leads you to obnoxious places. It leads you to that Doom that looked like you know, guys know those like toys that they're like spheres and they're like maybe brains or like an eyeball, and they have a squishy thing inside and then water around it and a membrane keeping it all together. That's what he looked like, and definitely not in a good way.
No, it was pretty bad.
It's just, I don't know, you'd figure, especially after Iron Man, you'd figure a guy in like a solid, super cool, modern or archaic or whatever you want to do with it, suit of armor. And then just, you know, the creators going, how do we get that guy into this movie?
You know, if you wanted to put Doom in, you're right. He's from a rich family
in Latveria.
He starts causing trouble. He's stealing the tech. He's getting ready to power up his own thing to go into the Negative Zone. They have to drop in They have to drop in and fight the military. That's basically the first act of Avengers Age of Ultron could have been the last act of Fantastic Four, and it would have been so much better.
Sure. I mean, there's lots of ways to play it, and you could have done it exactly like this movie did, except, you know, split it in two. You didn't have to have that final confrontation with Doom. Doom could have just not come back until the next one.
I mean, it was such a lame battle anyways. It's like, he barely destroyed any of Earth. Like, if you really want to do destruction stuff, he didn't really do anything. Right. The fight was over after two goes at him. It was like, it was nothing.
Yeah. I think the best one we brought up is having Doom, like, Doom is involved to start with. They shut down the project. Doom leaves. The other four go. Would have been, I think that's the best one.
That's if you want him to be part of the project. If you don't, then he is older and a project backer, and then he tries to take that technology and use it for
angry Kickstarter backer.
Yeah, that's not exactly what I meant. They didn't hit their deadline.
Didn't get his T-shirt in time. Right. Decides to go rally against them.
Yeah, but no, the shadowy head guy being like that figure, I think would have worked really well.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, Baxter could have been, I mean, it is, it's an independent contractor. So it's like, that could have been a little tiny subplot. Where is Baxter getting their money from? Oh, it comes from Latveria. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't have Doom in the movie, you can set that up. Or he comes in the middle and goes, oh, you guys are doing great work. I'm shutting you down. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows that they're about to have that breakthrough. Cause he's also a super genius. Like you do.
Right.
Like you are. And that's what prompts them to rush the project, get superpowers, fight Doom.
What about, I mean, when this film first started getting a lot of trailers and buzz, people were like, oh, they're just going to do it gritty, like every other superhero movie. Do you think this at this form of the Fantastic Four falls into that really gritty kind of superhero thing that we're seeing now?
No.
Or do you think it's it was
not
just all talk?
But it's also really unfortunately too far in that direction. And for me, the Fantastic Four are a lot of fun. If you think about it, you have an invisible lady, a stretchy guy, a strong guy, and a fire guy, right, who can fly. It's like, all of the things you could do with that, which is actually one of the things that the previous version actually did execute somewhat well. Yeah. It's like,
except for the Sue Richards bit.
It's like, you have a stretchy guy. You have a stretchy guy. What do they do in this movie with the stretchy guy? Nothing.
Yep.
They don't do anything with him. They don't do anything fun or stretchy with him. Except punching guys from a slightly longer distance.
I thought they started to. There was a hint of it being a fun fight when they first drop in. He grabs the one guy and starts doing the slingshot thing, wraps around, and then it's just stretch, punch, right. That's it.
Right.
It's like there's promise of a good fight there for a moment, but it fell flat.
Yep.
You, Steven, is it a gritty film to you, or is it?
No, I don't think it was.
Try to be a gritty film, and just
no, I don't think so. It felt like the very first X-Men movie. That's what it felt like to me.
Sure.
Which I didn't take that first X-Men movie as gritty like we've seen in The Dark Knight Returns or in Man of Steel or the Avengers movie kind of stuff. I thought it was on par for what we would expect from that, and especially from Josh Trank. I think it was right there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of moments that felt very Chronicle to me.
And from Fox's superhero stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised that we didn't have at least something from one of the other Fox franchises in there.
I was disappointed that we did not get a Deadpool trailer. Deadpool promised me there'd be a trailer.
Deadpool did promise we would be able to see his trailer if we went to the movie. Although we do have it up on the Major Spoilers website.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, probably tomorrow. Deadpool's got it's on the website.
It's online.
We
kind
of see it on the big screen.
What? Where you're breaking your neck and looking straight up in a Deadpool's nose mask?
You're honestly, given the theater that we go to, you're probably watching it.
I mean, even the Star Wars trailer was like, "Yeah, they're watching on my screen."
Oh yeah, the guys behind me. Did you hear them?
No.
There's a new Star Wars movie.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I think they're bringing Obi-Wan Kenobi back. You mean Qui-Gon is coming? Oh my God, guys. $122 million well spent on this movie?
122. I mean, it's all relative, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, I definitely didn't hate this movie. I have a lot of thoughts as a Fantastic Four fan, comic book nerd, and movie nerd about mm-hmm. that. Like, a lot of things that could have been better. But I kind of enjoyed it.
I did, too. I mean, like, you know, I said, 75% of the movie is really good.
Yeah,
I liked mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, this is totally on point. It kind of loses me, but, you know, it's like, I'm actually pretty hopeful for the sequel.
Yeah.
Which has already been announced.
It is strange. Yeah. It is strange to watch in that if you didn't know it was a superhero property for most of the film, yeah. you would just think is this kind of crazy, yeah, a little bit crazy sci-fi movie. Yeah, mm-hmm. not like, mm-hmm. oh, they don't need to get superpowers. I mean, that was never an idea. It was like, oh, we have this teleportation thing. We're going yeah. to another dimension. Oh, what are we doing? What are we doing? And then it's like, and now superpowers.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's the thing. Like, this movie tries to do too many origin stories.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to either get to the voyage earlier or not be a Fantastic Four movie to a certain degree. Like, make it... When I was watching this, I thought, you know what would be great right here? That scene from Watchmen... where, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know if it's in the movie too, because I don't remember, I've only seen it once, but in the comics where, like, people around the test area where Dr. Manhattan got obliterated
mm-hmm.
Start seeing
yeah.
chunks of him walking mm-hmm. around, like, having a scene in which Reed is trying to escape and he walks up to Sue and her skin disappears.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She's just like a skeleton.
They
like,
kind of did that when she was on the table, where you were cycling mm-hmm. through her body. Kind of they yeah. attempted to do that, but
and I'm it might have been weird. It might have been like a tonal problem, but yeah, I was yeah. like, this is kind of where this movie
it should have been more
to go.
It should have been more sci-fi.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it does want to, because, you know, if you look at Chronicle is like, oh, fun superpowers, but there's always
a dark side,
clear thing that the movie is going to hurt you at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Which Fantastic Four also kind of feels that way. There's this thing where it's like, these powers are not good things.
We've touched on this many times, that superhero movies shouldn't be superhero movies. They should be other genre movies. Right, in fact, right. when we were at Nerdtacular a couple of weeks ago or last week, on one of the panels, they had asked, was it your question that you
yeah,
asked?
Yes,
Rodrigo had asked that question to our comic book panel. You know, what genre should a superheroes movie go for? And Fantastic Four is definitely a science fiction movie that has a little superhero sprinkled in there.
Sure.
And if they would have pushed that a little further, I think it would have worked a lot better.
Fantastic Four could be your flagship, like, you know, running mm-hmm. up the flagpole and salute superhero movie, because it's one of the earliest kind of Marvel superhero mm-hmm. properties. It's a family.
Yeah.
It's a small group. They fight ridiculous things like mole people and negative dimension guys who are ahead with like a little tiny dog body, but mm-hmm. like right around in a giant robot kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They fight ridiculous things. This could be your superhero movie, and it was when the Incredibles did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And thus has kind of left the Fantastic Four without its own niche that it mm-hmm. invented.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
What'd you guys think of Giant Ben Grimm?
I thought Thing looked pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I think visually the Thing looked good. I think out of all of the characters, I thought his was not developed well, or just developed strange, because mm-hmm. once they got his powers and turned into Rockman, and then we jumped a year, we missed a lot of context of him starting to hate Reed. It's like, Reed, help me, you're my best friend, now I hate you, I'm right. gonna headbutt yeah. you well, and stick you in a cage. Is,
like, the movie tells us that a year has passed,
yeah,
but it doesn't feel like
no.
a year has passed.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably in a year you can start to hate someone.
Yeah.
So, again, it's like the movie telling us, it's like, in a year, he has started to hate him.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't feel no. right, because not enough time passes. There's not enough time for that to settle.
They could have taken some of the extra time from the beginning of the sure. movie to toss in there. I mean, even just
sure.
the... Because, mm-hmm. I mean, half the... For a large part of building the first teleporter was just montage.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Thing looked good, except I felt his arms were too short. He has like little tiny stubby arms.
I thought he was too tall overall. Mm-hmm. I was kind of expecting him to be more along the, you know, shortish thing that we see in the comic books, about the same height as everyone else. But
he seems, especially
the thing varies wildly in the comics as well.
Especially since the actor was the shortest of the group.
Yeah, he was very short, as we're going to say.
I think
that was purposeful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the look was good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think any of the special effects were horrible.
No, the only thing I remember thinking, well, that just looks off, was when they first land on Planet Zero and they like do him standing on that giant ledge looking over. I thought some of the matte painting wasn't that great, but like, if that's the worst thing that happened in this film, it's a lot better than other things we've seen this summer.
Yeah, and for me, the only thing that felt kind of flat special effects wise, quality wise, was that final fight, because it's so thick with it, right? It's basically, they do this like this thing where like everybody flexes their knees and everything is CG.
There was a moment with Reed where, you know, the rocks are flying at him and it's real, whatever the kid's name is, Kelby,
Miles Teller,
and then the rocks hit him and then it's instantly he's switched over to CG. Interestingly, and this is why I was asking about the $122 million, 90% of this movie takes place inside of a warehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every location is just a different part of the warehouse. And it's like, wow, in Canada or Louisiana, this is a super low budget. This is a low budget movie that got inflated somehow, maybe from the special effects at the end and salaries. But
maybe there's more to this movie that just hit the cutting room floor.
Maybe this
was going to be an hour and a half movie, and they were like,
they had to rework a lot of this stuff.
Did they?
Yeah, because it was Fox. You know, the word was out that Fox was not pleased with.
Well,
this.
They did a lot of reshoots
on the movie
to do stuff.
That's absolutely what it is.
It's, the reshoots.
The reshoots will just shoot the price of something up so hard, and then if the reshoots involve things that have special effects, now you're going above and beyond that contract, right? Where you're going back to the houses or contracting someone new and saying, "We need this fast. We need this now.
Mm-hmm.
We need these special effects."
I wonder if that is why they did the jump to 1 year later, because their whole third act didn't work originally. Because, I mean, you can put extensions in someone's hair if you wanted to make it look like a year. But if you looked in the credits, they had like two sets of crews. You had phase one crew and phase two crew.
Yeah.
And my guess is the phase two crew were all the people who were working on the reshoots. I don't know that for a fact, but that was my guess.
That makes a lot of sense because, again, there was a significant amount of time between those shoots, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't like everybody was walking on the set. It wasn't like everybody was walking over the tent. They were like, "Oh, wait, hang on, guys. Here's some extra money. We're doing this again." Like, they went back, they looked at the movie, and they were like, "You need to shoot half of this again."
And, yeah, I mean, really, think about it, that last 20% of the movie, because it's really, what, only about 25 minutes? 30 it's, minutes is the last part?
Is there?
If it's actually a whole 25 minutes, I would be surprised.
I could see him go back and just saying, "Oh, we got to rewrite this thing and figure out a way to make this work and dump money on it," so...
What do you think about the rest of the casting, Sue and Johnny?
I like Miles Teller. I like Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm. I thought he was really good. Kate Mara, I like her in House of Cards, but even then it was a little wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. But I like her as a person, and I thought she did fine here. Jamie Bell has been around for forever, so he was okay. And again, the Doom character, I know that Toby Cabell or whatever his name is has acted in a lot of stuff, but...
I was really hoping...
Didn't care for him. You know who I really like, though, was Reggie Cathy, the guy who played Franklin Storm.
Yeah.
I thought he was the best thing in the whole movie.
Well, he's so good in House of Cards as Freddy, the barbecue voice, which I was hoping is like, you have Kate Mara from House of Cards. You have Freddy from House of Cards. It's like, just throw in one subtle reference. Just make Storm... eat one rib. That's all I want. Just eat one rib in the film. I'll get your reference. I'll be happy. Which, speaking of, this made me giggle because I don't usually pick up on these things. In Johnny's car when he's racing, his little window ornament was the Mario fireball flower.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, oh, I get it. A reference to geek things. Yes.
Well, mostly Zach was flipping out because he hadn't heard about the Mario... level builder.
Oh, yeah.
Nintendo, came out with. So he was like, what? Yeah. You can make your own Mario levels? Most excited I saw Zach throughout this whole experience.
So, Steven, are you looking forward to new Fantastic Four? Do you think they've established something that can continue?
I think at this point, Fox needs... I mean, here's what needs to happen. Fox needs to pay really, really close attention how the Sony deal goes through with Disney, mm-hmm. with the sharing of Spider-Man. And then they need to be stepping up and go, we'll also let you have our cavalcade of comic book stars that we bought from you 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we can do this too and make some money. And then what they should do is just say, "You guys, we still own the rights. You guys make the movies that work. We'll take our 60%.
Because, I mean, they're really about ready to stop making X-Men after Apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
Didn't have no really plans I know of to continue.
Right. Nothing that's come out.
No more Wolverine.
Yeah.
No more Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Right.
But nothing.
I don't know that they've officially
said. No. I mean, yeah, they haven't said anything yet.
I thought Channing Tatum was set on to play Gambit.
Well, he's Gambit. But there's no like X-Men, you know, the big team.
Yeah.
That we know of yet. But again, I just think that here's the thing that Fox can do. We'll take 60%. You go make the movies. We'll help you distribute it. Mm-hmm. The end. Just let the money roll in at this point, and stop making these movies. Let the companies that, and I shouldn't say this because they really sometimes don't know what they're doing, but let the studio that knows what they're doing make the movies. And Fox and Sony are not the ones that know what they're doing at this point.
Rob, more Fantastic Four from you?
I'll watch it if it comes out. Yeah. I liked the group dynamic actually ended up working. I kind of want to know why the lab place was called Central City.
Was that a reference to anything? It felt like it was a reference.
That's where the Flash is from.
Yeah, I know, but that had nothing to do with this.
We should ask Matthew. There might be like some reference to something, but I did not catch that. That was supposed to be a reference.
Because it felt like, oh, we call it Central City.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay, it's reference like, to something.
Right.
Name
right.
drop.
It's like, we call it the Triskelion or something right?
Yeah.
So, Fantastic Four 2, you ready for it?
I think this franchise is hella salvageable. I think you got a lot of talent here. I think if they give this to a writer or a group of writers that can distill what is cool about the Fantastic Four in the way that a lot of the... kind of first wave writers for the Marvel Cinematic Universe figured out what was cool about those characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fantastic Four 2 could be a great movie. That said, obviously, not knowing if any of that is going to happen,
right?
I can't get too excited about it. But again, I feel that the Fantastic Four are a great franchise, especially now that superheroes are viable, and I think that if instead of trying to make the same superhero movie that Fox has been making this whole time, if they just took a step back and said, what's cool about these guys, they could actually make a great movie with these same characters now that you've gotten the origin.
Oh, yeah, I think so, but I just let Marvel do it.
I mean, I'm interested now. I thought this movie was better than a lot of people made me think it was going to be based off all of the talk from the last 6 months. I thought there were some good things in here. Some things didn't work for me, but there was a lot of good. And if they could really stick to like a sci-fi heavy aspect and not delve in to just start punching everyone for the whole movie, then that's something that would really interest me going forward with the franchise.
There's the question, though. I mean, I really think that the next movie has to be something different, because in Rise of the Silver Surfer, the Galactus Cloud, that is from the Ultimate Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. The only other thing that I remember happening that was interesting in Fantastic Four was the whole Namor arc in the Ultimate Fantastic Four, and then Marvel Zombies. Mm-hmm. And then after that, that's it. The Fantastic Four don't exist in the Ultimate Universe anymore. So they're going to have to come up with something truly unique and original for a second film.
There was they did some exploration of the Negative Zone and did some Annihilus stuff, which I think would actually probably be the best next movie, because like that's got the most adventure hook to it, which is kind of why I think the Fantastic Four is actually cool.
There's lots of ways to, there's lots of directions to take it. There is that kind of exploration of the unknown kind of thing, and it can be like, hey, we found this weird place on Earth. Who do we send? It's like, hey, how about those guys that are...
Mm-hmm.
How about we send fire guy, force field, rock guy, and guy who can't be... who bounces bullets off of his face. Let's send those guys, right? So you can do that. They can do, like, Fantastic Four, build you a city of tomorrow. Because that's mm-hmm. kind of the deal yeah. of the Fantastic Four, is they're a bunch of scientists.
Yep.
So in that process, kind of like, they can have people come and try to steal their stuff. They can kind of go the Iron Man angle of, like, wait, you've been militarizing my stuff. We don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And see what actually kind of like a kind of
armor wars kind of thing.
Like what a family unit does mm-hmm. with that, as opposed to like a trigger happy jerk. You know, it's like, it's a different movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are lots of places to take Fantastic Four.
Should people go see this weekend, Rob? Lots of hesitation.
Yeah. I would say it's probably worth seeing.
All right, worth your time, Rodrigo.
Oh yeah, I had a good time.
Good, good, Steven.
It's not horrible, but mm-hmm. I would see it at a matinee and not shell out a bunch of money.
Okay,
I mean it's worth going to, but be aware of what you're getting into when you go to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people.
I mean, I didn't hate it. I mean, especially, I really didn't hate the movie.
Especially
just disappointed.
Our fandom of major spoilites, I think they'll get a kick out of it. Mm-hmm. I think it's good stuff. So that's it. Anything last you want to say? Final words, final thoughts, and that means that's it for this episode of Zach on Film. Head over to majorspoilers.com where you can give all your thoughts about the new Fantastic Four movie in the comment section of this post. Anything we've talked about, I'm sure there's probably a talkback thing. Mm-hmm. up on the site where people can just comment on the movie in general if they don't want to do it in this posting. You know, while you're there, click on Amazon.com. You can buy all sorts of cool stuff like fire-resistant socks or glow-in-the-dark pins. I don't know why. You probably can buy those, though. It's not going to cost you any extra, but a little bit will come back to Major Spoilers to help the site run and give you new content each and every day. Next week, we'll be talking about more movies on Zach on Film.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.